We're back with more of Lake Effect on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. 5 years ago, then-recent UW-Eau Claire graduate Ben Bedrowski decided to create a chamber choir for people who don't always sing in chamber choirs, people his own age. The Chantclair Chamber Choir, now numbering about 50, gives its members a chance to keep their performing skills sharp.
Many in the group are school music teachers and church music directors, and they spend much of their time coaching others. Well, this Saturday, Chantclair will give a holiday concert at St. Marcus Lutheran Church on North Palmer Street, and we'll have a chance to hear them sing as well. I met with Bedrowski and Tim Backus, who's president of the organization and one of the singers as well. They were at a recent rehearsal, and we had a chance to hear some of the work. How did you come together? What made you decide that this was something you want to do?
So sort of the short version of the story is I moved to the Milwaukee area and I sang with the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra Chorus and had a great time doing that and was sort of looking for a niche that's comparable largely to my experience that I had in college at UW-Eau Claire. And I didn't really find a group that really fit that exactly. And so I talked to friends that I knew from college, friends that I knew from the MSO chorus or from theater around town. And some of those people reached out to some of their friends. And I thought we would maybe have a little chamber choir of 12 to 16 singers. And we had probably around 25
our first
singers
year,
our first year. Yeah.
And all about your age.
Yeah, most about, yeah.
That first year, it was mostly people in their 20s, and then we had one member who was about 40. And it's still a pretty young group. Like, we're up to 56 people in the choir, and I would say the vast majority are between, like, 25 and 35 with, like, a few outliers.
So what was the kind of choral singing you were looking for that you weren't getting, say, with the symphony chorus or, say, bel canto or one of the bigger groups around town?
Right, and I've sung with both either before then or since then, and they're both really great ensembles. What I was looking for was a really precise but robust sound that also had a really vital community. The MSO does great music, phenomenal music, but it's so large that I felt as a newcomer that there was a community there, clearly, a lot of friends, a lot of people who had very significant connections with each other there. But I was, you know, one of over 100 singers. And so I thought something a little bit smaller, some kind of group that could do great choral pieces in a shorter span. Things like this season we're doing FMLS Christiansen Wake Awake and something like that, that they could perform music like that at a really high level and do that within a sort of a thriving and deep community. That was what I was looking for.
And same for you, Tim?
Yeah, I think really the big thing that separates this group, because I've also sung with the Milwaukee Symphony Chorus, which is an incredible experience. I mean, you can't really compare singing with a world-class orchestra to anything else. That's a really unique opportunity. But the big thing that really has drawn me to Chantclair and why I'm still with it and involved so actively with it to this day is the focus on fellowship, I think, is a really big deal. And it helps a lot that it's a lot of people that are younger, although I don't think that's necessarily as big of a difference as the fact that, like, we're very committed to creating an environment where people, like, draw closely and bond together through music. So that's not necessarily a mission that the other groups have.
One of the things, too, I was thinking with a slightly smaller group that's trying to work at that kind of high level is that you're a little more flexible as a group, so you can do things that are from the Renaissance. You can do things that are medieval.
Right.
You can move all the way to the 20th century and the 21st century and everywhere in between, and it gives you a little more room to play, I think.
And we have, too. Yeah, we've done all kinds of stuff.
And I've thought about that a lot this season, that I don't know if there's another group in the area that can do all of the different music that we're doing this season. There are other groups that could do a lot of the things, like we're doing a Bach motet or a Baroque piece by Heinrich Schütz that some of the smaller choirs would just be amazing on. There's a few really great new choirs in town that would sound really glorious on those pieces. But then we're also doing a thick Slavonic well, it's a translated from Slavonic, but a Russian masterwork by Alexander Groshaninov that a chorus of less than, 40 singers would really have a hard time doing that. And so we're in a unique place with the wide range of repertoire that we can try to tackle.
So I assume you're listening to the voices that you have and you're trying to match the repertoire to them.
Yes, and sometimes pushing that, like the Groshaninov piece has low B flats for the basses, who many of them will tell me, I cannot sing that note.
Need to smoke like 3 packs of cigarettes before.
Right.
All that whiskey and cigarettes right. Before you do it. Well, I was going to say, the Russian Orthodox liturgy is primarily male, and it's that deep,
right.
deep profundo
and I'm
sound.
I'm the choral director at St. Sava's Serbian Orthodox Church as well, and we have a few singers from that church choir that are also in this choir. And so, I have a deep passion for that. And that piece, the Groshaninov, is sort of an outlier in the program, being that it's not Reformation or Counter-Reformation. It just sort of ties in because the Lutheran schools, like St. Olaf or Luther College, have that piece as part of their repertoire. So yes, but I definitely keep in mind the experience and the vocal qualities of the group in selecting repertoire. But especially this season, I think I've really challenged that. And it's been a lot of great things, but a lot of headaches too, trying to get everything to work. Things like this Bach motet that I mentioned earlier, it's really challenging stuff, and it really sort of stretches our aural and sonic and also historical and aesthetic palettes beyond what we're used to, which I'm excited about, but it's been a really challenging season sort of because of that.
Well, and you talk about Reformation and Counter-Reformation. I know this concert is about, because we're the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, but you think about the music that was happening with Martin Luther and then the Counter-Reformation, and of course I immediately think of Palestrina.
Right.
And you're talking 5-6 parts, mm-hmm. all doing this magnificent, wonderful, I call it this horizontal threading in that Renaissance singing,
oh,
where all these parts are like making this wonderful tapestry together. And so I'm assuming that while you're probably an SATB chorus normally, you're splitting people up to get these
parts.
There's
some pretty complicated splits. We've got, the Praetorius is like a four choir, and then that's split between
right.
like 8 people a lot of times. And then the Bach motet that we're doing is a double choir, but within that it's like split all different kinds of ways. So yeah, it's like Ben said earlier, it can, even for the size that we're at now, like we're fairly big for a chamber choir.
Chamber choir is a little bit of an exaggeration.
Yeah, so I mean 56 people, but we're doing like quadruple choir stuff for like 15, 16, 20 voice parts. So,
right.
Yeah. And that means that everybody's like 2 or 3 on a part.
Yeah.
And
they
so
can,
you
yeah.
really need everybody to be there.
And that's been a challenge, and I think a great thing about this season is that there's so much independence and such a high demand of musicianship on each individual that I keep coming back to this idea that like this sort of big mushy choral sound does not cut it when we're doing this quadruple choir piece. It's a Praetorius setting of Lord Keep Us Steadfast in Thy Word, a hymn by Luther, for 17 voices. And we'll have brass and some cello and organ doubling some of those voices. But each line is being sung by voices. for this concert. And I think it's something that has been very, very hard for us this season, but something that I can already tell when we have the opportunities to do some other music.
Pays dividends.
Yeah. That we see like, wow, look how easy all this is now because of the facility that we've developed through doing some of this music, which is not really why I picked the music, but is sort of a pleasant byproduct of doing this pretty rigorous and challenging stuff for the season.
I have always been interested in that big era, I mean, basically medieval and Renaissance stuff into the Baroque, because there were so many interesting things happening, particularly in the early Baroque as
absolutely.
Well for choirs, and it gives people, I think, a chance to work in a range that they might not normally work in. Mm-hmm. It gets them into different tonalities and
yes, exactly.
You know,
the modality that we're experiencing, you know. Very, very few of the pieces really are similar to something like a major or minor key. There's always something that's strangely modal. The altos are letting me know that none of their alto parts are really alto parts. They're all tenor parts, which is absolutely true. And we're reading time signatures and even sometimes clefs that maybe we've never done before, where, you know, there are sections where a whole note is the beat. Whereas if you're used to seeing a quarter note, it's very visually disorienting. And what has happened so far this season then, it was a lot of struggle at first. And now that things are sort of starting to settle with that, I think we're kind of getting a grasp of this style that for a lot of singers, I don't know if they've really had the opportunity to make music in this kind of way before.
Yeah, it's been interesting for me, for sure, not having the same level of choral background as a lot of people who are in this choir. We have a lot of music teachers, a lot of people who majored in vocal performance or have done a lot of different choral stuff. For me, my experience pretty much extends to, you know, high school, the symphony chorus, and this. And so, like, doing a lot of repertoire that I have not seen before from time periods that I haven't done, like I haven't done a lot of early music, so it's really taken like a lot of like stretching of my abilities and musical knowledge.
What is the plan for this chorus? Are you hoping to do more concerts each year? What's the long-term goal?
Yeah, we talk about that a lot. And actually, as a choir, at the end of every season, like we have a big group meeting where we sit and talk about like what the vision is moving forward, what the members want to see out of the group, because it really is like... like there's a small group of us who started it, but it really is everybody's choir, and so like we like to get input about that. And in terms of number of performances, we do a number of things outside of our main concerts every fall and spring. Like this fall, we performed concerts in Wauwatosa for a 500th Reformation celebration at different churches that they had there. We do collaborative concerts with other groups around the area. We did stuff with the Alverno College Choir, the UW Eau Claire Choir. We did a pretty cool collaboration with Danceworks and Jason Powell, and it was a lot of fun. We got invited, we submitted an application, and then were then chosen by Eric Whitaker to do a master class with him at St. Josephat's Basilica last year, which was a pretty incredible experience.
A lot of these things, there's a plan for them, and at least coming from my perspective, it's sort of a general plan as far as the performances go. Like I have an idea of like kind of where I want to head, but a lot of the details, like a lot of things that Tim just mentioned, they just sort of sprung up, and many of them were not. It wasn't, sometimes more than a month's notice before we would have the opportunity to do those things. And that's been a great thing about this ensemble is that we're green enough yet where that flexibility is still sort of manageable. What we're currently trying to balance is like the aspect of planning and sort of predictability and scheduling that an established chorus needs, and that just a group of, you know, professionals really, really appreciates. You know, like they want to know what we're doing in 3 weeks and not just say, at some time this is going to happen.
Because everyone has day jobs, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. No one is making very much money off of this. I'm not. We pay our instrumentalists not enough, and that's about it. I'm not currently getting paid. I would hope eventually to have this be something where, it's more of a full-time commitment for me. It's like time-wise, it sort of is right now. But financially, that'd be great in the future. I don't know those details exactly, but I think something that I'm very confident about is that the idea of making really great music, really high-level art, and engaging that deeply within a community of people that has a sort of an authentic community. So making our sort of slogan is authentic music making in an authentic community. That's absolutely the goal for me, is that like when I'm asked, like, well, do you want the group to be more of a social thing, or do you want the group to be more of a professional, highly musical, highly artistic experience? And my answer then is yes. That yes, I want those both, and I think they serve to enhance the other, although it's not without its tension and not without its challenges.
Yeah, and really, I think the biggest thing is that it's really a good time for the arts in Milwaukee, I think. We want to be a part of that long term. We want to be a group that's going to be around for a long time, and we want to collaborate with other artists in the Milwaukee area and other choral groups and musicians. So yeah, I think it's kind of exciting to think about the possibilities that we have looking forward, especially based on the things that we've already been able to do.
You do realize at some point you'll age out of the young choir thing, though.
Well, already, Tim had mentioned when we started, we were all about the certain age, and I thought, well, all of those people are you know, now 5 years older, which, you know, for someone maybe later in life, 5 years may not seem like a lot, but someone right out of college, 5 years, that sort of seems like a long time.
You know, yeah, we've all grown quite a bit since we started this thing. Yeah.
Well, let's hope it keeps going.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I want to thank you both for talking with us ahead of rehearsal. Let's go hear some music.
Absolutely.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Bonnie.
That's the Chanticleer Chamber Choir with a performance of Wake Awake, recorded during a rehearsal at Redeemer Lutheran Church. Bonnie North spoke with Artistic Director Ben Bedrowski, who also conducts the choir, and with Choir President Tim Backus.
The group performs its winter concert this Saturday evening at St. Marcus Lutheran Church, which is on North Palmer Street. Our on-site recording was engineered by our own Jason Reavy.